Hey guys, this is the BFG podcast. I'm here with my good friend John Smith,
and I'm here with my good friend, not John Smith.
Yes, the other John Smith.
The other not John Smith.
We're trying to protect our identities.
Yes,
but regardless, just for full disclosure, this is our second time trying to record this.
Yes.
The first time we went in without knowing what each other's choices were. We went in just like fresh-faced and trying to, you know, we did like reactions and talked about our different games and movies and things like that. And we realized that the sound was messed up. It was not recording our audio. So we had just a silent video. And we discussed our various options, which got increasingly ludicrous as the day went on.
Which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. We thought about dubbing ourselves over and making it like a Japanese anime style, like just really bad translation of our own video. We'd also talked about just re-recording it, but we had been sitting here for like 2 or 3 hours and we were kind of burned out. And so eventually we just decided to give it a couple of days. I did some troubleshooting to figure out what was going on. And Mike came back to record today instead.
Yes.
And hopefully it's recording the audio this time. We tested it before.
Yes.
And it started working, so
we're going to run with it and see how this goes.
Yeah, hopefully this time it's actually running properly. But yes. To get right into it.
Right into it.
Mike.
Yes.
Would you like to discuss our top 10 video games of 2018?
Well, I mean, we already did once, but we kind of screwed up. So, yes. Yeah, we have to do it again.
Would you like to do it again without the surprise element?
Well, I'm still going to act surprised because I remember some of the games you have on your list. I just don't remember the intention of the full order of them.
Okay.
So, at least there's some a little bit because I remember, yeah. So, why don't you get started? So, let's see.
You want me to start?
Yeah, let's see what you got.
All right, so my number 10 for 2018 was Lost Sphere.
Yes.
Which is just a super solid JRPG. Just the fact that it makes top 10 is pretty solid, but it kind of lost a little bit of points for me because of its generic nature. Mm-hmm. It tries to do some unique things, but at the end of the day, it's pretty much your standard, you know, get a party together and save the world kind of JRPG. And I Am Setsuna was from the same team, and that kind of fell into the same trap a little bit of like, it's a good game, but it just becomes a generic, you know, like get your party together and go save the world kind of JRPG, which isn't necessarily bad, but I feel like it didn't really do anything to set itself apart either. But regardless, it's a really fun RPG, where you literally, you're not just like discovering new areas of the map. You're actually like saving parts of the map that have been like forgotten. And so, you have to like use materials to like remember these realms, and then they come back to the map and you can explore them, and the people will like react to the new lands that you have saved and remembered and stuff like that. So it's a cool little RPG. Obviously, like I said, in my top 10. But it's not higher because, like I said, it's not truly unique.
True.
In its form.
I mean, Squeenix, but they seem to follow the same kind of types of games.
Yeah.
But
they see, it's interesting. They've got like kind of a few different. They've got different studios now, but you can tell they kind of have some of their studios that they dictate to being like, okay, you make our next like top down. Traditional RPG. And then they've got their team where it's like, okay, you make something super loopy and out there. And then they've got their third team that like works on their core stuff. They're like, okay, you're working on like the next Final Fantasy or something like that. But this one, it seemed like it kind of got delegated to that team that just like makes the super traditional, like play this RPG because you've always played this RPG.
And it's Squeenix.
Yeah.
So. All right, so my number 10 will be Dragon Ball FighterZ on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PC. I think that's it. So everybody that knows me outside of Power Rangers knows I am a huge Dragon Ball fan in every sense. And this game that came out is back to its 2D fighting that I really enjoy. And I know we talked about that you're not really the biggest fighting fan, but going from the Tenkaichi series, which was a more open rather than a traditional 2D, it was a nice change to go back, because this is the type of fighter that I personally like a Street Fighter type of game. The only reason why I have it low, even though I could be biased being a big fan, is the game is just super, super easy. I actually never got to a point where I was about to lose a character unless I was honestly just screwing around trying to do a button combination to do a bigger, stronger attack. Mm-hmm. And then even then, when I was getting close to losing them and I just said, screw it, let me just go back to the punches, kicks, and basic attacks on them, It just was easy, even to the final bosses, because there's three individual stories, three new stories, I should say. It just forming together, it just was too easy. But still, a very good fighter. I could see this definitely becoming more of a tournament-based game at some of the bigger conventions like PAX or anything like that.
Okay.
So, fun game, good fighter if you're a Dragon Ball fan. Plus, it's been going on sale a little bit recently, so good to pick up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, my number 9 is Ni No Kuni 2, Red Milk Kingdom. I always
forget that this one is so low on your list, considering how much you like Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, no, because the first one was, my game of the year it came out, which was, 2013? 2014?
2013 or 2014,
It was PS3.
Yeah, it was 2013 or
Maybe even further back. Was that, 2010, 2011?
I want to say, it's the PS4 coming out in 2013, or... Yeah, 2013 for PS4, so... And I know it was near the end of it.
Anyway.
So,
Ni No Kuni was, my game of the year it came out. And this one, they lost their... Or they didn't lose it, but this one is not connected to Studio Ghibli the way the first one was. This one, it's still set in the same universe, but it's just a level 5 game. And they try to do a lot of unique things. They've got, a kingdom builder aspect to it. It's got your standard RPG elements. It's got, little, buddy collecting, kind of like Pokemon, stuff like that. But I feel like it tries to do a whole lot of stuff and does everything just... it's pretty good, you know?
It's just there.
Yeah. And so... This one, it didn't quite capture that magic. I felt like it lost a little bit of, the storytelling and the character development that the first one had. Mm-hmm. And this one focuses more on, let's make a bunch of, unique mechanics work together. And they all work fine, but it never becomes, the really, endearing, whimsical story that the first one did. So, again, you know, it made it into my top 10, but it's a little bit lower because, for me, this one didn't quite hit home, the first one really captured me.
Okay. So for my number 9 is going to be Red Dead Redemption 2. So I know this one game of the year for a lot of people out there, and the main reason why it's so low on my list is I just recently got it actually for Christmas from a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had a lot of time to play it, get in more into the story like some people have. They bought it when it came out. I think it came out at the end of October. So that gave people initially 2 more months than me to get on there. But for the little that I have played, especially since we did this for a top 10 of 2018, when I got it so late, it has made a big impact on me. So obviously, I can't sit here and talk a lot about it because I don't know too much about it just yet. But definitely something worth picking up. I mean, honestly, I didn't really get into the first one. But after the hype and seeing everybody play this, I was like, yeah, you know what? I want to give this one a chance.
Yeah.
It's a good thing I did.
Yeah. All right. My number 8 is Octopath Traveler.
I remember you playing that all summer long.
Yeah.
All summer long.
Yep. Which this and there's one other that's on my list that I played pretty much the whole summer.
Yes.
But Octopath Traveler, what enraptured me about this one was the art style. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everybody talks about the art style with this game. It uses this unique your characters are 16-bit characters, but they're dropped into this almost 2.5-dimensional background. Yes. Where it's it's a static map, but you can distinctly see trees or brush or whatever in front of you, in the foreground. And you can also see rivers and things in the background. There's levels to this that give it kind of a weird sheen almost. And it's pixelated, but there's dimensions to it, and there's also almost a gloss. It's a very bright, almost shimmery world. Mm-hmm. And then there's certain elements that are purposefully made to look smoother than others. So you'll be your character only moves a couple times a second. You can definitely see kind of the judderiness, the old school animations to the characters, mm-hmm. but then like grass blowing or water looks like really smooth. It's done in like 60 frames per second. And so just like everything about this game has kind of this like unique quality that you didn't see back then because of hardware limitations, and you don't really see now because they've moved past that art style. And so it kind of gives it this really distinct look that you just haven't really seen and don't really see. And it's just, it's gorgeous. I loved it. And even beyond that, you know, like kind of the weight battle system really works well because you can kind of build up to like these bigger attacks and things like that. It's not just like, it's got the standard turn-based combat trope,
right.
but it kind of plays with that a little bit. It's got 8 stories, 8 different characters, but it's not just like you build your party. Each of these 8 characters has their own unique background too. And so it's just, it's a really, really solid game all around. It does everything pretty well.
Still up there on the Switch too. So
that's, yeah.
And that was another one of those games where Nintendo was like, this isn't going to sell well, or we don't need to produce that many copies. Well, Nintendo still obviously hasn't learned that one yet. So you put it out, especially if it's a Nintendo exclusive, it's going to sell.
Yeah.
All right, so my number 8 is going to be Shadow of the Tomb Raider on PS4, Xbox One, yeah. PC. So this is the finale, I guess, if you will, of the rebooted trilogy that started on PS3. Not as good as the other ones, but still a very solid game to really wrap up the series before they either reboot it again or if they do another new sequel to the reboot, I guess you could say. But it seemed like Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics really got this one right all the way around. Story was fantastic. Characters, obviously, you got to watch them grow. Lara Croft, obviously, from a... I never will forget from the time in the first game that came out, she was just a scared little girl, and up to this one, she was thrown down with anybody 4 times yeah. her size, and it was fantastic watching the progression of the game, and obviously watching the game get bigger and better each time. Perfect? No, not by any means, but definitely one of those games that probably got lost in the shuffle. It came out early in September, mm-hmm. or mid-September, I want to say, before all the other heavy hitters started really coming out, like Red Dead and a few others that I'm sure are going to be on the list. But
yeah.
definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of Tomb Raider. Being the third one in the series, you should probably get the other two first just to kind of have an idea of what's going on. But the good news is the first two are really not that expensive anymore. Mm-hmm. So you can get the whole trilogy now, including this one I've seen on sale somewhat, probably for 50, 60 bucks and get yeah. all 3 of them. So I really enjoyed this game. I really want to see what they do next with another Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I actually haven't had the chance to play this one yet. I wonder if this one would have made my list, except I never got around to playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider or Red Dead Redemption 2. Two of them on your list so far. I actually yeah. haven't gotten around to yet.
So if I were you, did you play the other Tomb Raiders? I can't
yeah,
remember.
Yeah. Right.
So if you played the other Tomb Raiders, I would try this one first, because this is one of those ones where when you're kind of done with it, you're done with it. And yeah, there's a lot more you can do to go
yeah,
a
yeah.
more.
It's just like the others. Like yeah. 10 hours to get through the story, yeah, but then there's like collectibles and stuff.
But Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of those titles where, you know, there's just so much to do, and there's so many times you don't want to do the story because you're off doing another side quest. Mm-hmm. This one I saw is more or less... you're more focused on getting the story done just to
right.
kind of see what happens.
Okay. All right. All right. My number 7 is Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah, okay. I always remember, it's like, you know, not being a car guy. I mean, I played the original Forzas on 360.
Yeah.
And then just seeing you put, like, the newest one on Xbox One and PC on here.
Yeah. And what's interesting is I never would have gotten into it except for Jeremy, a buddy of ours.
Shout out to Jeremy.
Yeah, he's super into cars. He's all about cars. Mm-hmm. And he messaged me asking if I was going to play it, and just he kept reminding me how soon it was coming out. And then he texted me at one point, and he was like, hey, it comes out next week, and they're saying it's coming out for Xbox Game Pass. And I was like, oh, cool. So then I can try it for free.
Yeah.
I don't have to put the money in. I can just, you know, give it a shot. I mean, beyond what Game Pass costs. So the day it came out, I downloaded it, and he's been like texting me all day telling me how amazing it is. And so I just kind of downloaded it and did my thing. And then the next day I booted it up, and I was surprised how much fun I started having in it. Because it's kind of just this big sandbox. Like, there are, like, you know, missions and races and stuff like that, but it's more or less just you can drive around and visit these beautiful locations. There's like a picture mode where you can like actually get achievements for taking a certain number of pictures and stuff like that, or like different like tricks and signs you can do that aren't part of like a specific mission. It's just stuff you can do around this world. But what really captured me was like the car creator. I loved like sitting down and just like building my own custom cars and like detailing them and putting like custom decals. There's like this whole community that can like upload decals and things like that. And so I spent a lot of time just like building and customizing my own cars. And then I would drive them around this world without even like taking on races or anything. And so, that one made my number seven just because it's just, at the end of the day, it's just a whole lot of fun in this just like big old sandbox world. It's fun to like build your cars and play with your cars even more than like, even more than racing for me. It was fun to just explore this world in these cars that I had created myself. I thought that was really, really cool.
You know, for something, for a game like this, is that, again, coming from me who does not know anything about cars in general, like I said, I played the originals and they were fantastic. They were just fun to race around, even if I had no idea what I was doing or anything about the car. Definitely a very good racer. And
yeah.
If you're into cars in any sense of the term, worth checking out.
Yeah.
So my number seven will be Mega Man 11 on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, PC. So Capcom finally listened, and they got it right. Is it as hard as the other ones? No. I mean, by no means is this a walk in the park game. But Capcom's got to realize, even without Kenji Inafune there, that we do still want Mega Man, and it will sell. And they put this out. They put out the Mega Man Collection and X Collection, and obviously those have done very well.
Yeah.
Because they also didn't price it at a $60 game. This title is $29.99. And just absolutely beautiful. From graphics to gameplay, they really got it right. And if they do Mega Man 12 or on, or maybe they bring back Mega Man Legends that they canceled on the 3DS and port that over to the Switch, PS4 and Xbox One, I think that'll do really well too. And I really, really enjoyed this title for what it's worth. And I really enjoyed getting back into the nostalgia kick as Mega Man, since Mega Man is one of my top five favorite franchises of all time.
Yeah.
I don't mention it too much on the show, but it really is. So a game like this is just super fun to jump into. And especially with the collections out on the Switch that you can either download individually, or you can download the full game, or buy the physical title. It's got all six of them for the first one, and then all the X versions on the next one. Definitely well worth it to pick up and play. And
yeah.
I really, really enjoyed this stuff. So you should buy it too, Tyler.
Okay. I'll get right on that.
That's the point. You buy it too. So.
All right. So my number six is Jurassic World Evolution, which is the other one I was telling you that I pretty much played all summer long. Which... again, this one kind of surprised me a little bit because, you know, like, I've played The Sims, I've played Roller Coaster Tycoon, I've played stuff like that, and, like, they're fine for what they are, but I never, like, really got into them. And this one, the idea of, like, breeding and taming my own dinosaurs was just, like, the coolest thing in the world. I had so much fun just making new dinosaurs, but also, like, rare dinosaurs. Like, you can change, like, their color patterns and stuff like that. And then you have to build like the perfect habitats for them because they want like a certain amount of foliage, or they need a certain amount of space or stuff like that. And so just not just maxing out your park, but like putting like the like rare hybridized monsters and things in there too. It was super fun. I loved that grind. And there's just so much to do. Not only were there a lot of dinosaurs, but after you kind of get the first island running efficiently, it unlocks like four more islands that you can go build parks in. And then they get more intense as you go. You have to deal more with like bad weather and stuff like that. So, you know, you have times where like a storm might come through and blow out one of your generators. And then there's no power running to the gates. And so the dinosaurs will bash through the gates or something like that, you know. And so having stuff like that as you go on makes it more of a challenge, but it never stops being fun to build.
Yeah.
So that's my number six is Jurassic World Evolution.
Very good game. You know, I know when it first came out, the reviews were kind of eh, but as people got more and more into the game and started to see more of what they could do, it really picked up to be seemingly a very underrated title.
Yeah.
And I know, I think the game's actually a little bit harder to find if you're trying to find it physically on PS4 and Xbox One. I could be wrong, but
okay.
It's not one of those titles that I see too much, or even on sale, or in a bargain bin price.
Yeah. So,
worth checking that.
Yeah.
So my next one, my number six, I kind of cheated a little bit. We talked about this when it was recording. Is this game, I believe, came out in 2017, but the physical version came out in 2018. So that was my first time sitting down and playing Sonic Mania. And I absolutely loved it. Again, much like how Mega Man 11 seemed to capture the essence of the originals and get better, it was the same thing with this one. And Sonic Team really got it right, and they need to focus on doing more stuff like this for us rather than trying to put out the garbage that they were putting out.
Yeah.
You know, Sonic is a very traditional type of game, much like Mario is, but Nintendo got it right when they did stuff like, you know, Super Mario Odyssey and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nintendo also put out games like Super Mario Bros. U, which actually, in about a week, they're relaunching it for the Switch, supporting it over from the Wii U. But those type of games still do well and they still sell. So even if Sega can't get Sonic into that open world type of game like Nintendo did with Mario, they could still produce a game like this, still have it sell, and still keep their main franchise and their main mascot in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting the movie that's coming out later this year, but well, that's a topic for way later. But for something like this, it's definitely cool to sit down and play. And that's why I had to cheat a little bit, because I technically did not play it in 2017.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a solid game. I played it because I got the
collector's edition.
Yeah, I got the collector's edition back when it first came out, which didn't have a physical copy of the game, but came with all the other cool physical stuff. So I played it significantly before you, and it's a really good experience. It feels so good to kind of go back to that classic Sonic feel. All right. So my number five is Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden, which... kind of, I had heard about it a couple years back when they first announced it. And then it like dropped off the radar and I hadn't heard anything about it for years. And then I got a notification like just before it came out saying, hey, we're releasing this game and it's going to be released for Game Pass. So again, I kind of just lucked out in a game that I was, you know, kind of on the fence about, ended up coming out for Game Pass anyway, so I could try it without any risk. And it turned out to be one of my favorite games of the year. It's kind of this mix of like resource management and survival, but also with the combat of XCOM, which I love the XCOM games. Those are some of my favorite. That's one of my favorite franchises. And Mutant Year Zero is based on a Swedish pen and paper RPG about this like dystopian future where, I mean, the mutants are the ones that have survived. So, you know, you play as like this duck person and then like a hog. And then there's a woman that's like part rhino and all this. And that's, you know, you form this party of like strange mutants. And you're going around these different areas like collecting resources and stuff like that. But if you get caught in combat, the combat is like almost like page for page. Like it looks like they almost ripped the code from XCOM and used it for their game. And it's just so good. It's such solid gameplay. And you can use that, you can use the resources you get not just to like upgrade weapons, but also like to upgrade your mutations or upgrade the base and stuff like that. So there's all sorts of uses for these resources you get. But yeah, Mutant Year Zero was probably one of my favorite experiences of the year. That's my number five.
Beautiful. I mean, that seems like I'm kind of following the main course of just console games, but you put a lot more diversity into your list, that's for sure. But hey, you know what? That's what it is. It's a top list for a reason. So, All right. So my number five will be Mario Tennis Aces on the Nintendo Switch. So to be completely honest, and I don't know if I mentioned this the last time we tried to record, but I really enjoyed Mario Tennis on the N64. I think that's like the end all be all, really, of the game. I remember hours upon hours playing it.
Okay.
For the GameCube, the Wii, not the 3DS one, and I believe there was one on the Game Boy Advance. I don't think there was one on the original DS, but I could be wrong. They were good. The Wii U version wasn't, but the others were good. But this one just seems to be, much like some of the other titles, like how Sonic and Mega Man, Nintendo got it right. They put everything into this one. They said, okay, here's a game. And it came out in the summertime to kind of tide us over while we were waiting for a few other titles. I loved it, and I still will play it to this day. Not as much, obviously, as I used to, but definitely a good party game to bust out with people to play. New mechanics are in it, which if you don't want to play with those mechanics, you have the options to turn them off and just play a standard Mario 64-esque type of game.
Yeah.
And just fantastic all the way around. Again, one of those titles that's not really ever going to be on sale, but if you buy a Nintendo Switch and you want more party games, this is one of them that I would definitely suggest.
Yeah.
You know, it's... It's just overall fun.
Again, this is not a game that I thought I would have enjoyed, but I had a lot of fun with Mario Tennis. I took it to the school with me during summer camp. I would let the kids sometimes play Mario Tennis with me, like in the computer lab and stuff. So
yeah, I remember you never let them win.
Nope.
Kicking butt on a bunch of second graders. Yep. Good job. So.
So, good memories there. It didn't make my list, but it's a good game. It's a good, solid game.
And I think it primarily made my list is because of how much I enjoyed Mario Tennis 64.
Yeah.
And how little to moderate I enjoyed all the others compared to this one. Mm-hmm. That it just had a...
Yeah.
Skyrocket up my list.
Mm-hmm. All right, so my number four is Dragon Quest XI. This game... This was my Christmas game.
This is your Christmas game.
It might have even moved up higher on the list if I had more time with it, but being I've only had it for a couple of weeks, I was trying to be rate it based on how far in I had gotten. But it's such a good RPG. Where I was talking about Lost Sphere in the sense that like it was almost too generic and it just didn't stand out. Mm-hmm. This one is weird because it's like a really standard turn-based JRPG, but it does it like in all the right ways. This one I feel like is a JRPG, but like a masterclass in its field.
Okay.
So where Lost Sphere kind of didn't stand out, this one stands out for doing the same things that it's always done. I think last time I compared it to Final Fantasy IX, where it was kind of like a return to its roots a little bit. Mm-hmm. And this one, it's got the same like beautiful cel-shaded like cartoony art style as always. It's got turn-based combat, but the way the camera works and the way the movement works, it kind of feels a little bit more dynamic. It's not just like you're standing there going through lists all the time. It's got, so far the characters are great, the story is great. It's just, like I said, I don't want to spoil it, and I can't go too in-depth because I haven't finished it yet, but from what I've played so far, it's already gone up to number four, and like I said, as I go on, it might even move up as much as I'm enjoying it, but yeah, so my number four is Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah, I've always known you really liked this franchise, so mm-hmm. I completely forgot that it actually came out this year.
Yeah.
I knew there was another one or something I want to say, but I could be wrong on that. Builders, I think, came out 2 years ago, so yeah. 2019 now, so good to see that they're still pumping this out over here, and, you know, obviously there's still a fan base for it, otherwise they wouldn't bring Dragon Quest over, so mm-hmm. hopefully we'll get the exclusive one for Switch soon.
Yeah.
So, all right, so my number four is going to be God of War on PS4. Mm-hmm. So this one I know is a lot higher on some other people's lists, but I think my 3, 2, and 1 will kind of explain that a little bit more. Fantastic title. Santa Monica Studios outdid themselves this time, and as close to a perfect game as you can get, if not a perfect game, from art style to the voice acting to the combat to the story, especially the story, the controls, everything. Loved it. Everything had its place. Nothing felt out of place. Nothing felt forced on you. And again, I can't really say much more than hasn't already been said about this title. And it was absolutely fantastic. So obviously, if you have a PS4 and you're in and you're old enough and you're into these type of games, God of War is something.
Even if you're not into these games normally, you have to try this game.
Yes. Yes. So again, I can't really say much more than that. And I know... I remember our list, so eventually it's going to show, but it's the same thing, so...
All right, so my number three is Pokemon Let's Go. These games are just super endearing.
Absolutely.
In all the right ways. And I know there was a... I don't know if I want to call it a controversy, but, you know, a lot of people were complaining about it because they were talking about how, like, you know, they're simplifying it. They're making it too childish. They're making it, you know, they're dumbing it down. And I'm like, did you play the original Pokemon? It's like, I loved Pokemon back then, and the new Pokemon didn't do anything to change that.
Mm-hmm.
They did enhance some mechanics, like now you can see Pokemon on the overworld. And some people complain about that, saying it's too easy now. And I'm like, I kind of love that, because those elusive Pokemon that maybe, you know, you would originally sit for 5 hours wandering around one patch of grass trying to find that one Pokemon, now you just know if it's there or not. Mm-hmm. You're not like wasting your days, which for someone who kind of really values his time, you know, working full time and not having as much time anymore to play games like I'd want, it's really valuable having those little like quality of life enhancements.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's things like that. And the Pokeball controller is great. I've been using that every day. I carry that with me. Anytime I leave the house, I use it for Pokemon Go. I use it for Pokemon Let's Go. It was just such a complete package having it with the Pokeball. And the game is just so endearing. And it's not even just like a remake of the first one. It definitely draws its inspirations heavily. It's the same game world and stuff, but they have significantly changed some areas and some puzzles and things like that. So it's a very enhanced port of like Let's Go or Pokemon Yellow and stuff like that. So yeah, that made number three this year. I can't get enough of the new Pokemon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure I'll talk a little bit about it in just a moment or two, but I just had a brain fart there. So no, I'm going to talk about it in just a moment or two, so I don't want to add too much there. But I'm going to go to my number three, which is Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. Again, going from Brawl and the Wii U and 3DS version to this is just a breath of fresh air. Every character's back. Everybody is... They're just like, here you go. Here's everything that you want. Mm-hmm. Leave us alone.
Yeah.
Instead of Waluigi, fingers crossed. So, again, not much I can really say about this one that hasn't already been said. Fantastic game. And what I really enjoy about this one is that in past entries, you had to do certain things to unlock characters. This one does have a story mode, the World of Light, compared to the Wii U and 3DS version that didn't have a story mode. You can unlock characters that way. Or, if that's not really your thing, just play Brawl. Just fight. All you gotta do, you could put against a level one computer, and after every couple of matches, since there's 70 plus characters, you can unlock them that way. Mm-hmm. Granted, it is all random, so you might have to grind, and you know, I know Ice Climbers are back, which a lot of people really, really like. They could be the last character you unlock compared to wherever they are unlocked in the World of Light for you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an thing, but I mean, with so many characters and with them showing up after every 2 to 3 matches, it's not like it's going to take you that long to get the full roster. Mm-hmm. And what I like about this one is you had the throwback to the original 64 version, where the roster that you get when you first get the game is the original roster from the 64. So good throwback to Nintendo there. Fantastic fighter, fun game. Everybody should have this, except for you because you don't have it yet.
You know this. But, well, it's crazy because I'm not like I've mentioned before. I'm not a huge fan of fighters and stuff, but even I've been getting into Ultimate. I've been having fun playing that with my brother-in-law. So it's a really good game.
Definitely is, and definitely, can it overtake Melee? You know, time will tell. It's still a relatively new game. I think it's about a month old at the time of this recording, give or take. So there's still time to see how well it truly does, but I think it could overtake Melee in some aspects to be the big new fighter that is going to be showing up at these shows, and with giving you the option, again, Nintendo did put out the adapter so you can use your GameCube controller. Mm-hmm. Of course, they just make more money off of that, but hey, who cares? You know, it was a good on them, I feel.
Yeah. All right, my number two is Spider-Man. And my thing with Spider-Man is I just couldn't get enough of this game.
Right.
The experience from, like, just web-swinging around, but also the story and the gameplay, the combat, the free-flow combat, the way that they created these characters... It's just everything about this game astounded me. I could not have asked for anything more from Spider-Man, to the point that Haven like started kind of getting upset with me. She had to like force me to get off my PS4 and actually do things with her because I was neglecting other things in my life to play Spider-Man. Like this game almost became like a bad habit for me after a little bit. I absolutely adored everything about this game. I'm sure if you're listening to us, you're the kind of people that have read the slew of reviews and probably also played this and platinumed this and, you know, so on and so forth yourself. So I don't need to go into too much detail, but I'm trying to kind of stay spoiler free and stuff. So it's amazing. Yeah, it's such an amazing game.
Sony got a good end of the bargain out of this by allowing Spider-Man to go back to the MCU under Disney.
Yeah.
With the deal that they got with this game. Venom and Into the Spider-Verse, the movies that they produced, and I'm sure there's a few more things out there that I'm missing or that are coming next year or this year, really. for allowing Disney to get their hands on Spider-Man, and this was definitely one of the higher perks, I would say.
Yeah.
So, but again, I'm sure I'll talk about that in a minute. But my number two is going to be Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Yay!
So, I think, like much how you mentioned, is that I've had the nostalgia kick for a while to boot up my Game Boy or to bring out my 3DS, because I actually have the Red and Blue Edition 3DS to play them again. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, I can go back and grind and do all this. And yeah, they took a lot of that out. But for a game like this to just sit down to play, and honestly, you didn't mention it, but you got to play it in handheld mode because in docked mode, like the controls are just.
I'll still do it if I'm having like a lazy Saturday or something, but the catching Pokemon controls definitely work better in handheld.
Yes, but for this, obviously, I enjoyed every aspect of it. Getting back into the game, playing it, I loved how the Pokemon were up in the overworld. It makes looking for shinies easier if you're into that. I know there are people out there that are trying to go for all 150 shinies in the game, which is just fine.
Blows my mind. But I don't have the time or the motivation for that, but like Godspeed to those of you that are trying. That's amazing.
I don't know if anybody's completed it all yet. There's one guy who's a big Pokemon guy on YouTube and Twitch, the Jay Witz. Last I checked, he had like 30 or 31 of them so far. So again, fantastic title. Obviously, we both have the PokeWalker. You care a lot more than I do because I keep forgetting to bring it with me. But it's an overall fun game. It gets back to the basics, and yeah, it is a little easier compared to Red, Blue, and Yellow. But at the same time, they wanted to make it an entry level to newer fans as well, and they wanted to keep it true to its roots. Eggs were not in Red, Blue, and Yellow. Certain things were not in those games that were in Gen 2 and on, and that's how Nintendo wanted to keep it for this one.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Tyler's number one game, so I didn't forget to do the drum roll, is
God of War. God of
War. Gee, I wonder why.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. Okay, my turn.
The reason, and because we had talked about this in length about Spider-Man and God of War, and for me, the whole thing with God of War is that everything in this game, not just the story and the characters, but like the way that even collectibles and upgrades fit into this Norse mythology and this whole world just comes together into one like really tight, cohesive package makes the difference for me. Where like this game was amazing and I played the heck out of it whenever it came out. But Spider-Man was like even a little bit more addictive. And, I got, like I said, that became almost like a bad habit for me. But in Spider-Man, there were certain things that I felt like were just kind of shoehorned in to give you more content.
Yeah.
And I mentioned too, like the backpacks. The backpacks I thought were fine because that idea of him like, oh, there's a crime over there. I need to just like sling up my backpack somewhere to solve this crime, and then he forgets where he puts his backpack. That was funny to me. I thought that was great. There's all these backpacks just like, web slung on like on ceilings and on top of buildings and stuff like that because he keeps forgetting where they are. That fit in really well, and I thought that was great. And, even to the point where I was collecting, 50 of them, wasn't it? That was fine. I loved that. But there were certain ones, like the Osborn lab missions,
yes,
where he kept sending you to like just swing through smog clouds, or like when the guy lost all of his pigeons, and you just swinging around like trying to grab pigeons and stuff like that. That's not that they're bad missions, but you can tell that they get a little bit grindy and samey. It does feel like they're kind of there to extend the gameplay a little bit for those people that do get anal and want to get 100%.
Yes.
And I never felt that way once with God of War. I felt like everything that was in there was very intentionally done to fit in with this mythology and this Norse background that they had created. The story, the characters, the collectibles, everything in this game was such a cohesive experience. There was nothing that felt out of place. And it was just so, just for the fact that God of War was as immersive an experience as it was, that one bumped it a little bit above Spider-Man for me.
Okay.
So my number one of the year was God of War.
Okay. So my number one, and I'll do my own drum roll because you're kind of doing something else and you're the one flipping around, is The game that you just talked about, Spider-Man. So for me, being more of the superhero fan than I am of the Nordic God of War type, but I love God of War, don't get me wrong, I had to put this as my number one because, again, going back to a time thing, when I play a game, I don't really do a lot of the side missions. I just kind of stay focused on the main game and beat it and move on to something else.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man, although I didn't platinum it, I had so much fun web-slinging around the city and playing the game in general that some of the side missions I didn't mind doing, like stopping a crime or finding a few backpacks, even finding a few pigeons, where even if it was a little bit odd, I still wanted to say, okay, before I go to this mission, let me do one or two side things real quick, just because I didn't necessarily also want the game to end, but because I just had so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind it. And that's why I really enjoyed this game. I enjoyed the story, and I think the sequel, the inevitable sequel, whether it be for PS4 or PS5, is going to be just as good, if not better. Mm-hmm. And when you have a studio like Insomniac behind it, there's not much more that you can really, truly ask for. Mm-hmm. So, kind of going with what you said, yeah, some of this stuff was kind of hereditary, like swinging through the smog several times to collect samples. But it is one of those things where it's in the game, you got to do it.
Yeah.
So don't click back on me now.
Sorry. Yeah.
But I really did enjoy this title very much. And, again, as I mentioned before, you know, Sony got a good end of the bargain just by allowing Spider-Man to go to the MCU. And, you know, hopefully they can strike another deal to keep Tom Holland and Spider-Man in the MCU for time to come. Because I'm sure it's going to be a part of the next phases going forward.
Yeah. You know?
So that's really all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I think those are our top 10 games of 2018.
Yes, a fantastic lineup. I think there's going to be another great lineup coming for next year as well.
And I think between the two of us, I think we've got like a super super solid, like, kind of a good all around of the stuff that came out this year.
Absolutely.
Even the ones that I didn't play or I didn't enjoy as much, you had on your list, and vice versa.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was good because not any of them like matched up exactly, which is good. Mm-hmm. So it shows the diversity that we also play too, or how we look at games.
Yeah. So, all right.
And so thank you again for watching episode 19. We appreciate it. I think we got it right this time, hopefully. And so it actually recorded us talking.
Yeah.
So we'll be back shortly with episode 20 for our top 10 movies of 2018.
Yes.
So thanks so much, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.